Welcome to the EQ Fit Podcast. Our mission is to equip people to prosper in every aspect of their life. Whether you're at home or in the workplace, we explore practical ways of improving success, satisfaction, finding balance, and building enjoyable and beneficial relationships. Thank you for joining us. We've been looking at the five major areas of emotional intelligence, and we're now finally to the fifth one, which is social skills. Social skills are critical because they encompass our ability to interact with others, to collaborate, to communicate effectively with other people. Developing these skills is essential for a variety of reasons. First, you've got trust. And I can't tell you how important it is to be able to understand how to build trust, not just from a formula, but really from a multidimensional aspect of how you build trust. It's not just what you say, it's what you do, it's the way you follow up, it's the way that you collaborate with others, it's the way that you practice empathy with others. There's so many different dimensions to trust. And trust is a part of having good social skills. So developing that major category of emotional intelligence. And I just got to one, that's trust. Now let's talk about some of these others. Forging deeper connections. To be able to connect well with someone, you've got to have good social skills. And we'll talk about what that means here in a minute. But connection plus trust equals influence. And if you want to have influence with people, especially if you're a leader and you're listening to this, if you want to have influence with people, frankly, whether you're a leader or not, I mean, we're all leaders. We lead ourselves first and then we lead other people. So if you want to have influence, it's going to happen through connection and trust building. Fostering a positive culture. I hesitated for just a minute there because this positive culture is so very important. And the tone that you set with people is absolutely critical to the culture that you're going to create with other people. So we need to think about that. How we approach others goes right back to social skills, right? So then there's increasing engagement. Social skills are one of the best avenues for increasing engagement. And if you've ever looked at a climate survey of an organization or even a team survey, you will understand how important engagement is, because engagement is the individual willingly committing to something versus somebody just telling them they have to do something. It comes from an entirely different direction. It means an entirely different thing to the individual who is making that commitment. Instead of, oh, my boss is just telling me this stuff, so I got to do it, and kind of doing it with an attitude or maybe not a great attitude. There's a big difference between that and, hey, we're working toward a bigger outcome, a bigger purpose here. I want to do my part. I want to be engaged. Engagement is the emotional commitment somebody shows to the effort. How much are they willing to invest themselves in that effort? And by the way, if your engagement scores are low, I can show you a variety of ways to enhance those engagement scores fairly quickly, but it's going to take some work. So if you're interested, reach out. So I want to share a story with you. This is a good point to kind of stop and step back and share a little bit of a story. Now, again, it's related to social skills, but I think you'll see as we kind of talk through this story, what this really is all about. I've had the opportunity to meet and work with many, many very smart people. I'm talking IQ smart, okay? Rational smart. It's rare that I meet someone with both high IQ and high EQ, though it's definitely a possibility for people that are willing to grow their emotional intelligence, their emotional quotient. That is one of the easiest things to grow. So I've met a lot of people that are incredibly smart. A few years ago, I met a guy named John. I'm going to call him John. That's not his name, but let's just do that to protect everybody here. He fits into that very smart person role. So John started his own company in technology. He had some ups and downs to get it profitable, but then he hit on a few innovations that opened the door to sustainable success. John's a smart guy. As John's company grew, he added more employees. I mean, that's common sense, right? You grow, you need more employees, you bring them in. But soon his small company grew to be a mid-sized company. That's when the gap started to show. There's something called the founder's trap that can limit organizational growth. And basically, it's when an owner grows their organization to a point they can no longer control everything on their own. The trap happens when they continue to try and control everything. I had a conversation with John the first time I met him. It went something like this. I'm going to talk. If I say me, that's me. If I say John, that's John. That's kind of easy to understand, right? Me. John, what are you experiencing right now that is creating concern for you? John, my company has grown to a point it's very difficult to manage everything. Me. Are you trying to manage everything yourself? John, not everything. I leave the smaller stuff for my leadership team. I only focus on important things. Me. And those are? John. Well, basically, anything that impacts the bottom line. So I had to stop right there when I was in that meeting with John, because here's what I'm thinking. What I'm not saying but thinking is, considering the bottom line impact items probably encompass a lot more than John's capacity, here's what I said to him. It sounds as if things are falling through the cracks. Can your leadership team step up and help you? And John thought for a minute and came back with, you know, I'd like that. I would like it if they would do that. So I asked him, what's standing in the way of that happening? And John came back and said to me, and he was thinking, there was a pause there intentionally because he had to really think about it. He said, well, they don't think like I do. I don't know if I can trust them with bigger things. Okay, so a lot of you listening are going to read into that, as well you should. But it's a very common thing that I see with very smart people, because they do things and they do them very well, and they're very smart about how they do things, but they really struggle sometimes with trusting others to do it as well. So here's what I came back with. What have you done to explore the possibility with them? And this response from John really kind of floored me, because he said, well, I'm waiting for them to come to me. We all kind of know what's going to happen in that situation, right? Or at least it did for John. Well, from this initial conversation, I learned some very important things. Number one, John is very smart from an IQ perspective. There's no question about that. He likes the business model he's built, but it's not working as effectively as it used to. I mean, the world changes, right? We've been through some pretty dramatic changes over the last 5 or so years. His emotional intelligence is not very high. Now, I knew that pretty quickly, but then later on, I confirmed it through some assessments that I use. His social skill development is a significant gap in his toolbox as a leader. He had bought into the myth that you only have to focus on your strengths to be successful. I'm not sure where he got that from. I have a sneaking suspicion. I know where that came from. There's a lot of talk out there about, oh, no, just focus on your strengths. You don't have to worry about all that other stuff. That is a very lopsided approach. It works well and it makes people feel good from one perspective, but there are going to be things you run up against that your strengths are just not going to be the right approach. And if all you have is that, then you're going to keep hitting your head against the wall and wondering why it hurts so much. So I want to share with you, this story does have a happy ending. As I worked with John and helped him improve his emotional intelligence skills, his ability to connect, build trust, and engage his team grew. The more that his social skills increased, the more he saw the potential in his team. That was a fascinating revelation for him. The more he increased his own emotional intelligence, the more he started to see greater potential in his team. Because it wasn't just about John anymore. He was starting to spend more time and invest more in getting to know his team and getting to understand where they're coming from, which is a huge part of emotional intelligence. Today, John has developed a very good balance between his approach as an owner, his leadership, and those are not the same things, and his desire to invest in the growth of his people. So let's talk about the importance and the value of social skills. The value of social skills lies in their role in fostering healthy relationships, and that's both personally and professionally. They allow us to navigate social complexities, and there are a lot of social complexities out there. It allows us to lead with empathy, and it creates environments where people feel understood and they feel valued, and that is becoming more and more critical in the workplace if you want to retain top talent. Developing social skills involves some very specific things, and I'd like to talk a little bit about those. So we're going to get into more of a how-to here and try to explain some of these different approaches, and then we're going to take an even deeper dive into a few of those that I think will move the needle the fastest and the most. So the first thing that can be done developing social skills is practice what we call active listening. Truly listen to what others are saying without formulating your response while they're speaking. Another way to say that is be fully present for them in the moment, not judgmental, not thinking about other things or how am I going to respond. Second thing you can do, effective communication with people. Share your thoughts clearly and concisely and tailor your message to your audience. I can't stress how important that is. Then there's empathy. Make an effort to understand others' perspectives and their feelings. This is where I see a lot of owners struggle, especially high D on a disc, like personality-wise, really driven individuals, maybe also those very high IQ individuals. They really struggle with the concept of how important emotions are in relationships. I literally had one guy said, I just tell them check their emotions at the door. And I just had to ask him, how's that working for you? It's not. I don't understand. Yeah, okay. 7.5 years later, we're doing better there. Another one to think about is conflict resolution. Develop the ability to address disputes and find mutually beneficial solutions. People think that conflict is a bad thing, and it could be, it can be a bad thing, but healthy conflict is a very good thing in organizations and teams. And the key word there is healthy, because it's kind of that iron sharpening iron thing. where people get better because there's healthy conflict, not where they feel judged or put down, but where they feel challenged. So there's a very important concept of challenging others versus putting them down or persecuting them. And then another thing to think about is just collaboration. Working effectively with people, valuing everybody's contribution. Maybe they're not as smart as you, maybe they're not as good as you or as experienced as you, but when you respect and value other people and their contributions, you get the best out of other people. This is what social skills are all about. By improving our social skills, individuals become more adept at managing relationships, leading to increased trust and cooperation. And I think we all want that. This development can lead to a healthier, more engaging workplace culture and better team performance. And I've seen it over and over again. So let's start to break down the elements of social skills. First, let's talk about interpersonal relationships. Building strong bonds by being approachable and available. It's so easy, especially in our virtual world today, to not be as available or as approachable. I mean, we're starting to throw up roadblocks that make availability and approachability even more difficult when we are removed from a standard office setting. So think about that when it comes to interpersonal relationships and open communication, sharing your thoughts and your feelings candidly with others. This fosters intimacy and trust as both parties feel safe to be vulnerable. And I'm not going to go deep into that today. I probably will in the future. But this whole vulnerability thing, this openness and this transparent approach is so very important. But you do it appropriately. You don't share things that are inappropriate. You respect others. If you start sharing things that are inappropriate, that is disrespecting other people. So we have to be thoughtful about things. Then we've talked about this before, active listening. Truly listen when other people speak, rather than just turn to talk. It helps you understand the real person behind the words, and that's a really important phrase. Get past thinking of them as something other than a real person with real needs, real feelings, real thoughts, real perspectives. Then mutual respect, and that's a critical element. It's almost like a currency. If you have respect building up between people, you have more currency of respect to spend. Respect for each other's opinions, their feelings can go a long way in nurturing deeper relationships. It builds a foundation of trust and understanding. And sometimes shared experiences are a great way to think about enhancing social skills. Create and share new experiences together to strengthen bonds. This could be as simple as trying a new hobby or as grand as traveling to a new place. It could also be looking at somebody's office or what you see of them and finding something that you can connect on. I like to call it common ground. So when I talk to people, I look for things, whether I'm virtual or in person, I look for things that I may have common ground. Do they have a trophy of some kind? I don't have that many of those, but do they have a picture of themselves catching a big fish? Do they have a picture of their golf team? Do they have, those are the kinds of common ground things that you can really start to enhance social skills in yourself and connect, collaborate, build trust with others even better. And here's another one, gratitude and appreciation. Regularly express gratitude. And this is a failing of a lot of people. And a lot of people see it as false praise, and I'm not saying make stuff up. I'm not saying, you know, do over the top stuff that isn't really true, but just regularly expressing gratitude to others and appreciation for them goes a lot farther than you think. Now, understand the personality type of the person you're doing it with. Some people would not at all like it if it's in public, if you're doing it in front of other people. They appreciate it privately. You know, those are the high S, high C individuals. The high D, high I don't mind at all if you do it publicly. So go back to a previous episode to learn about the DISC, the DISC, or the different personalities if you want to know more about that. But think about how you share that with people and how they will receive it. By deepening our interpersonal relationships, we don't only build trust, we connect at deeper levels, which enhances our influence on each other. It fosters better cultures, it increases engagement levels, it empowers leaders to unlock their full leadership potential. And this is where I think a lot of leaders fall short, is they don't think it's important. I have a position, I have authority, so you should do what I tell you to do, and you should follow whatever I say because I have authority. That's not leadership. As a matter of fact, I guess maybe it is, but it is the absolute lowest level of leadership that there is. If all you're doing is falling back on your authority, good luck, because you may find yourself with no followers. And that's unfortunate, but it happens a lot in the workplace. So let's dive deeper into some more elements of social skills. Responsibility. Being reliable and dependable in your interactions with other people. So how do we do that? Well, there's self-acknowledgement. Recognizing every aspect of our lives is a result of our actions, decisions, and choices. It involves understanding that blaming others or circumstances takes away our power to change our life for the better. Responsibility has some really important elements in it. Self-reflection. Continuously reflecting on our actions, acknowledging our flaws and strengths, being committed to personal growth. It's about striving for betterment even when it's challenging. Action-oriented approach. All part of responsibility here. Taking responsibility involves proactive behavior, setting goals, making plans, and following through. It's not about waiting for things to happen, but making them happen. Learning from mistakes. Embracing the lessons from our failures and mistakes as opportunities for growth. That's responsibility. Balanced responsibility. While it's essential to be responsible for our part, it's equally important to not overextend and take on too much responsibility, which can lead to burnout and resentment. So be thoughtful about responsibility. By going deeper into responsibility, we can experience a more meaningful and empowered life where we are in control of our destiny and can leave a legacy of lasting kindness and achievement. So let's talk about assertiveness as a part of these elements. Communicating your needs and boundaries respectfully and clearly. I think assertiveness is a really important one here. Self-respect is as well. Being assertive starts with self-respect, valuing your own needs and feelings as much as others. Recognize your self-worth is a really good step to conveying your needs assertively. Clear communication. Assertiveness involves expressing your thoughts and feelings clearly and directly without causing offense or behaving passively or aggressively. Remember, these are all part of social skills. I mean, a lot of people would say, wait a minute, I wouldn't think assertiveness would be a part of social skills. But social skills are a balance as well. It isn't all your fault. It isn't all somebody else's fault. It's not all your responsibility or somebody else's. You don't have to be totally assertive and other people not, or they don't need to be totally assertive. All of this comes in balance, and that's why we call them social skills, to find the right balance. Setting boundaries is really an important one. Knowing and setting healthy boundaries is vital. It involves the ability to say no when it's necessary, without, and this is a big one, without feeling guilty for prioritizing your own needs. Honesty and directness. Rather than hinting or expecting others to read your mind, assertiveness means being honest and direct about your desires or your concerns. Handling criticism. Part of assertiveness is the capacity to receive and handle criticism constructively. Hard to say that fast. Viewing it as an opportunity for growth and self-improvement. That's a big one. We need to be able to handle it and handle it well. Developing assertiveness can lead to more authentic relationships, enhanced decision-making, and increased confidence. We all want those things, don't we? By being assertive, you can build trust, you can avoid misunderstanding, you can create an environment where there can be open dialogue, where we actually cultivate open dialogue. It's not just about getting your way, but about finding a common ground where everybody can feel heard and respected. We've heard that before, haven't we? Here's another one to focus on as far as kind of a subset of social skills: persuasion and influence. Guiding conversations and outcomes in a positive direction. Active listening again, and I won't go over active listening, we've already talked about that. Empathy, we've talked about as well. It helps to build rapport and to build trust, which are absolutely crucial for building more influence with someone. Showing genuine concern for others' feelings and viewpoints can open them up to be more receptive to your ideas. Isn't that interesting how that works? It's that common ground, and it's sharing and respectful. Storytelling. This is an interesting part of persuasion and influence. A compelling story can captivate attention and make your message more memorable. Thereby, it enhances your persuasive impact. There's a principle of persuasion. I'm going to try and pronounce this correctly. I believe it's Cialdini's principle of persuasion. It's widely respected, and the key principles in it are reciprocity, basically making sure that there's equal give and take back and forth. There's commitment and consistency. There's social proof. There's authority. There's liking and scarcity, all of which are fundamentals to persuading others effectively. Now, if you want to go check that out, feel free to. I'll spell that for you. Cialdini. And that's Principles of Persuasion. I'll let you do that on your own. Here's another part of influence and persuasion, which is the communication techniques that you use. Knowing how to present your ideas clearly and concisely, and then understanding to use logical versus emotional appeals. And there's a balance there between logical and emotional appeals. That's a part of effective persuasive communication. There's actually multiple ways to use logic and or emotions to influence others. We try to keep it on the light side, not the dark side. There is a previous episode on hot cognition that is definitely leveraging emotions for influencing other people, and especially for salespeople. So if you're interested in that, check that out. Go find the hot cognition episode and check that out. And I think you'll find it makes a lot of sense. And I think it'll resonate with you when you listen to it. when we build a foundation with others. So when we think about persuasion and influence, building a foundation is important. To go deeper in influence and persuasion, you have to focus on credibility, consistency, and the quality of the relationship built with other people. It's not just about what you communicate, but how you live out the values that you advocate for. Mastering persuasion and influence involves understanding a little bit of human psychology, practicing clear and impactful communication, and then building genuine connections with other people. It's a complex skill set that, when you develop it, can lead to more meaningful engagements and, frankly, the ability to guide outcomes in various aspects of your life. So these skills are integral for leaders who aim to inspire their teams, for individuals who want to live a more successful and satisfied life. It also drives organizational success and basically achieve high levels of performance and satisfaction. These are really important skills. By investing in the development of social skills, everyone can enhance their competence in all aspects of interaction with other people. This investment pays dividends in the form of stronger teams, more effective leadership, and a more robust, dynamic organization. And bottom line, it will help you as an individual become more successful, more focused, and have a lot more satisfaction in your life. Thank you for joining us for this episode. If you have any questions about this week's episode, or maybe a suggestion for future episodes you'd like us to explore, please contact us through our website at eqfit.org. For more information and inspiration, connect with us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and YouTube at eqfit.org.